Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a very special season all over the world. Amen. It's good to see my family here. Oh, wow. Good to see you, Paul. Apostle Paul. Good to see you, Mama. God bless you. So good to see you. This is our Indian family. And then we have our Korean family here. These are the people who go on missions with. Good to see you, Dr. Heijin, and your husband. God bless you. They came all the way from Atlanta to join us this morning. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's good to see you all. And I pray that truly this season will bring good memories for you. Amen. Amen. This is one season in the whole world that nobody ignores. And it's celebrated in different ways. But every time we come to a season like this, whether it's Easter or Resurrection Sunday or Christmas when Christ's birth is celebrated, or personal birthdays, there's something that we need to really always take advantage of during this atmosphere. Or else we'll be like everybody else that just allow the warmth and the atmosphere of this season to inspire them, and then at the end of the season we'll go back. The reason we celebrate something is to remind us the reason for that season and the reason for that celebration. Because if we're not reminded, we might have drifted or might have forgotten the reason for that moment. So let this season remind us of what Christ came for and who he really is, so that it will shift something in our relationship with him or open the door for something greater to take us to another level. I don't miss moments like this. I mean, every time we are in prayer, but when moments like this come, I reflect a lot. Amen? So, before I share with you what the Lord has put in my spirit, I also want to thank so much. If you look at this atmosphere, you see decorations everywhere. It looks beautiful, isn't it? And when you come tonight, you're going to see a lot of work. Last night, we celebrated with some pastors downstairs. There are people in this house that labor so hard to make this happen, whether behind the scene or in front. So please, let's just thank God for everyone that is working so hard to make this place look good and make sure that we are moving forward. Amen? And let's just thank God for them. Thank you so much. Thank you for the great work you all are doing. And God will reward you. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 says, before you were born in your mother's womb, before you were conceived, God says, I knew you. I knew you. He said, then, while you are in your mother's womb, I set you apart. I sanctified you and I ordained you, meaning I have an anointing that sets you apart to fulfill the very purpose for which I sent you to the world. So basically what God was telling Jeremiah is, every man and woman, regardless of how you came, whether you're born by a virgin or you're born by a harlot or you're born by a robber or you're born, whichever way you come into the world, God has redeemed you for a purpose. If we don't know that purpose, we never fulfill it. So if you all, I didn't know I was going to share this, but maybe the next message. If you all have ever used a puzzle of a house, a house that is built. And this house has foundation, windows, roof. He has everything. He has a painting. He has pavement. He has flowers. He has, and they make it a puzzle. And if you look at the puzzle, by the time you tear the puzzle in pieces, you will see that every piece is important. If you take one piece out of that puzzle, it makes everything look bad. So God is saying, in my plan of life, I knew exactly why I'm sending you into this world. Because I have set you apart. You are unique in what I want you to fit in my plan in the earth. Destiny. So, when some people are born, they take time. When we are born into the flesh, all we know is this world. So, except we are born again or we come to know God, we don't really find how we fit in God's plan and purpose. So Satan just uses us to just live life as if we came here by chance. So one of the focus of Manzan is always to awaken people's destiny and purpose. If you find 10, 5, 6 people that understand their purpose, they change environment. They change things. Other than 1,000 people that are just living to appease the requirements of this world. So, in this season, there are certain people, certain plans, certain callings that God highlights in the Bible, and we are all called in the same way. But there are certain people that God highlights. Like I shared last week in Genesis chapter 3, as Adam fell and God was addressing Adam, Eve, and the serpent, he said to the serpent, the woman, the seed of the woman will bruise thy head and you will bruise his feet. That was the first prophecy God declared about the coming of the Messiah, Christ. If you go all through the Bible, Isaiah 9, he talks about that again, a son shall be born. He was prayed this morning. We all know this popular. Isaiah saw it in the spirit. Isaiah received it and says, unto us shall be born a son, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. He declared it. Why? What is prophecy in that dimension? Prophecy is when God gives people ability to receive the plan of God as it is in heaven. They receive it and they declare it. Amen? The child will be born in Bethlehem. So in everything God speaks, God always fits the puzzle exactly, the timing and where it fits. What God does is for us to fit the plan of God, fit every puzzle. Some puzzle, if you see, it looks like a cross. Some looks like an antelope. They're all scattered and all shapes. Because God has to cut or shape us, mold us, and take away things in our lives that doesn't fit in the puzzle. Amen. And that's what trials do. Amen? Because for you to fit God's plan, you cannot be this big, empty, just big. God will have to cut until he takes what he wants, throws away the flesh. Amen. Amen. So in God's plan, God spoke a lot about that the world has gone astray and then he's going to send a Messiah. So God knew in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. Jesus came, said, I know why I'm here. When I finish, I'm going back to where I came from. And I'll go and prepare a place for you. And he finished that purpose. 33 years he was done. He wasn't here to waste time. So this morning, knowing, just having this understanding of destiny, God's plan. Jesus came to fulfill a plan. came to fulfill a destiny. He focused, he went through it and finished it and left. John the Baptist did the same thing. So I want to share with you this morning three things that the devil caused to happen in the garden with the first man, Adam. And the Bible talks about the second Adam. Three things Jesus did to nullify, to destroy, to overthrow what the devil has done through the first Adam. Not only to nullify it, but to restore man to God's original plan. Amen? So as we celebrate this season, you have to ask yourself, if this was me on this side, when the devil was, I was running this bloodline of what the devil has done, what the devil is still doing in the world, now I'm on God's side, am I really experiencing these three things? And if I'm experiencing them, what impact is it doing for me and the people around me? That's what the message of Christmas could be for us as individuals. Because before you were conceived in your mother's womb, God knew you. While you and your mother's womb, he set you apart and he ordained you to fulfill a purpose. So he takes us from here, here to fulfill that purpose. So I'm going to share with you three D's. A, B, C, D. Three D's that the devil, through Adam, brought into the world to kind of frustrate God, allowed that God's plan. And I want to share with you three L that Jesus did to overthrow, nullify, and restore us. Amen? That's the reason for this season. Amen. The first D is, we're going to read all this in the Bible soon. The first D is disobedience. So let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 5. I want you to see this in the Bible, Romans chapter 5. Verse 19. You can put it on the screen if you can. Romans 5:19 says, For us by one man's disobedience, many were made what? Sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be what? Made righteous. So right here, the first D is this. Maybe you don't know, but sin is a manifestation of disobedience or rebellion. Disobedience is rebellion. God said, don't eat this, don't do this. I've given you everything in this world, but don't touch this, don't eat it, don't eat it. The day you eat of it, you will die. So God, who created the universe, has established his word. And once you disobey his word, you rebel against him. So the first Adam, the devil came, deceived him, said, oh, no, don't worry about God. He's, you know, he's just, you know, and said all the things, you know, like he does with us today, distracts. I said, don't worry, there's no consequence. You'll be better off. You'll be like God. And played all the tricks. And convinced them out of deception to disobey God's instruction. And sin came through that. Sin, which is the product of disobedience, has consequences. When sin comes, which is out of, it brings a curse. Meaning, it brings the opposite of the blessing God puts on obedience. And so from the blood of Adam, everything that's sin, consequences of sin, started flowing through that bloodline into the whole earth. Amen? So, like, if you look at Saul, God called him to be king, anointed him, but he disobeyed and disobeyed. He said disobedience is like a sin of rebellion. It's like a sin of witchcraft. You've chosen to do things your way. You've chosen to run your will, even under my provision. Amen? So the first thing that happened that brought sin, iniquity into the world and brought judgment was disobedience. Amen? So, how do we, because of disobedience, everybody's suffering. So disobedience brought sin, and sin has consequences. So to rectify that, God talked about the second Adam. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. The second Adam came. In this scripture, we already said, by the obedience of one, a new bloodline, all will be restored, righteous, made righteous. So the blessings, the purpose and plans of God is restored through obedience. Amen? Amen. So that's the first one. Jesus, out of that, destroyed that. The next thing that Jesus came to do that all springs out of disobedience, number two, after they disobeyed and now sin has come and the blood is running sin, Jesus has to come and obey, submit to the Father to destroy disobedience. But now the consequences of disobedience produce the second D. The second D is called death. Let's open to Romans chapter 6, verse. Romans 6, 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, if you can put it there, it says, the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of what? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So, right here, disobedience brought sin. The reward of sin is the second D, death. What is death? D-E-A-T-H. The first consequence of death is separation from God forever. Ever. Separated from God. Death. Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. So, before we got saved, and those people that are out there walking, and somebody might be here this morning, walking out there, if you have not received Christ, you are still a living dead. What does death mean? It means the absence of God. But death also means, for it to be absence of God, means the absence of life. Amen? So for us to understand death better, absence of God, death, dead in trespasses. Adam, first Adam did that death. Jesus came out of obedience. The Bible says right here, it became a gift of life. How? John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was what? God. There was nothing made that was made without the Word. All things were made by the Word. And the Word is what? Life. That life is not the life you see out here. The life you see out here is different. It's the human flesh life. The word for that life is called Zoe. meaning God's life. Eternal, a life that does not die. You see, the gift of God is eternal. Jesus came to death for life, separated from life. Jesus came to restore life with God forever. Eternal. Will never die. Eternal life. It says the thief came to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I came to give what? Life, and life abundantly. So the first L is, oh, I didn't tell you what the first L was. Okay. The first D is disobedience. The first L, Jesus came to give his love. What does it mean? What love does it? It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Now, whomsoever believes in him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. But the only way that will be possible is that Jesus will have to obey God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, if you can read it there, John chapter 14, it says, if you love me, you will obey me. You'll keep my commandments. If you love me. Jesus says, I love my Father, so I obey him. The Son can do nothing unless what he sees the Father do. I've only come to please my Father. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. So let me be honest with you from scriptures. Obedience is a manifestation of love. You obey people because you love them. Children, obey your parents. Simply, children, do you love your parents? If you love me, you keep my commandment, you obey me. So the first is, I can go deep, you know, love. Love is everything. God is love. So Jesus so loved, God so loved the world that he chose to say, I will go. I will die. I will put on sin. I will submit to the flesh. It says he obeyed God even to become a slave. He died, obeyed God all the way to the cross. He obeyed God. He submitted and died. That was obedience. Not my will, but your will. Because he loves God. I will do what you say because I love you. Not because what you ask me to do feels good. We don't obey people, obey God, because it's nice. The reason we don't obey people that discipline us is because it's flesh. But we obey, we discipline people because we love them. And people that submit and obey their parents receive the rewards of obedience. It's not comfortable. Obedience is love. So Saul did not want to obey God because he didn't love God. David obeyed God because he loved God. Wasn't perfect, but they loved God. So the first disobedience, obedience was because of love. L. So love is why we do what we do. We don't do it to gain anything. Just the nature of God is love. Amen? So the second is disobedience brought death. But the second L, here, Jesus came to bring life. Amen? In him was life. And the life. Jesus was life. The life of God. The Zoe life of God. It's a life. The blood that gives life. Amen? Amen. The blood that cancels death. So, the first D, disobedience, is what brought the whole humanity to where it is today for Satan to rule. Satan is ruling the whole. He said that the children, we were once the children of disobedience. And Satan is still ruling today, running the world. And because you are in disobedience, we don't even know the difference. That brought death. everybody out there, whether it's a king, whether it's a president, whether it's a mayor, if he doesn't have Christ, he's dead. Whether it's a billionaire, he's dead. Because he doesn't have God. God is the only life that exists that sin separated us from. So without Christ, there is no life. Amen? So death, Jesus came and gave life. The third D is darkness. God, from the beginning, had his glory around Adam. Out of disobedience, that glory lifted. Death came. The soul that sinned shall die. The wages of sin is death. Separated from God. That separation, that death, brought darkness. Paul says we're delivered from the power of darkness. Everything about Satan is 100% pitch darkness. See, darkness is not this light you see. It's just an illustration. If you go into a room and the light is bright and you're covered, like in jail, and it's pitch dark. It does something to you after 24 hours. Dark, it does something to you. If there is no sun for at least a day or two, all these plants will die away. They will just die. Darkness in the spirit is worse than that. The Bible says in Isaiah 60, it said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For though darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord will arise." So what does darkness mean? What does we say the power of darkness? Darkness is basically the domain of Satan. Satan is called darkness, dark world, outer darkness. The product, the fruit of darkness, let me describe a few of them to you. If you look at the works of the flesh, and if you look at Jesus when he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach to those that are brokenhearted, to preach the gospel to those that are in captivity, to open the prison doors, to bring healing to those that are bruised." My brothers and sisters, darkness, from the scene of darkness, if you see a young child from a very young age live the rest of their life being molested, that's darkness. The person doing it doesn't even know he's possessed by darkness. When you see people kill people, cut their throats and brag about it, that's darkness. When you see murderers, when you see thieves, when you see sexual trafficking, when you see dictators, and you see, look at today, how can you kill almost close to 50, almost 1,500,000 people, going to 2 million if the statistics be told, young people perishing between Ukraine and Russia, and the people don't feel anything about it. That's darkness. Darkness, if you've ever experienced it, is anything that violates you, destroys your conscience and your ability to function. When he says, we're looking at the physical, but Jesus says, when he says to set the captives free, to open the prison doors, if you're using the physical, if you go to maximum prison, where people are locked up, because of some horrific things that they did. That is what Satan does. Satan dehumanizes people through other people, abuse, violates. They become absolutely possessed with evil. And then after they become possessed with evil, he takes them and locks them in and puts them in chains in that situation, tormenting them. Use the physical jail. This person has never known his father. He's going through a lot. He's lost his mind. He end up becoming a thief. He's destroying, he's killing. He's into drugs, into pain. And comes out of and never found Christ. Ends up in prison and locked up the rest of his life because he killed people. From evil to evil. Finally banished until you die. Chained. Useless. That's darkness. That's what darkness can do. Darkness is every evil that has happened to people, every evil that still happens because the prince of darkness has created that atmosphere. Possesses people, takes over people, and they violate and they do so much evil without even thinking. Controlled completely by this prince of this world, Ephesians chapter. That's darkness. The powers of darkness. What Pharaoh did with the children of Israel was a type and shadow of what darkness looks like. Nobody can escape darkness. The prisoners. We are all prisoners of sin. We are all prisoners of the devil. It doesn't matter. That's what the Bible says. We're in chains. We're running the beatings of this world. Why? Because we're children of disobedience. Our blood. We're dead. We don't know what life is. And in this dead world, the survival of the fittest, you have to take advantage of people to survive. And then you finally come to this point where darkness overtakes you. You are living, but you don't know what light is. That's darkness. And you can go on and on. So what did Jesus do? He came. And I want to read this scripture to you. Let's open to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. The popular scripture we read verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born." That's talking about him. "Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord will bring it to pass." So the whole world is expecting this Messiah, the solution to what life is. But in verse 2, if you go back, this 9 verse 2, he explained one of the things this government will come, what this son will establish, what his government will look like. Verse 2 says, "The people that walked in darkness have seen great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shine." So, the first D, disobedience, Jesus came and wiped, destroyed it with obedience because of love. Love is above the rule of law because love lives beyond do this, do that. Love lives above that standard. You don't obey traffic light because, you know, no, you do it because you know it's the right thing to do. You're told to do. So love overcame disobedience because love obeys God because he knows God is right all the time, the word of God. Death came, Jesus brought life. And then now, darkness. He brought light. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. And then the Word is life. But that life, that's John chapter 1. That life is the light of man. And that light shines And darkness cannot stop it, cannot comprehend it. So as we think about this season, as we reflect on this season, the level to which you understand where you came out of disobedience because of the hate, whatever has been in our heart from this evil bloodline, whatever, reflect on this season, disobedience. How is your love for God causing you today to obey the word of God? How much are you seeing this as just a letter when God says, do this, do that? All this is not a preacher telling you. It's like sometimes people think it's the preacher saying, you give, do this, do that. If you love him, say, you just obey him. If you love me, you keep my word. This word is what will judge. We weigh all our level of obedience. How much today are you love God, is based on how much you obey him. This season, as you reflect, death. Now God has brought you to life. The level of your obedience and understanding the life of God is different from the life of cars, houses, these, all the things. All these are things God gives us to enjoy in this world. That is not life. Amen, amen. Some of the most miserable people today that commit suicide are some of the richest people in the world that think they have life. It's death. They celebrate death, not life. Money, Solomon says, I thought money would make me happy, so and give me life. So I tried, I made musicians, I built this, I married, I did all this. I used what money can do, everything that life can give, and I found out I still didn't have life. I was miserable. Because everything I thought was life, I found out is vanity. It's a vapor and made me more miserable. So those things out there, believers are the only people that enjoy without sorrow. Unbelievers, that thing you see there, they are not happy. They are miserable. Solomon said, the word of God said. So how much of God's life today you really experience really determines how much you obey him. Amen. And in this season, as you reflect, darkness is not this. It's not. You see, the sunlight is a good example. God said, let there be light. Because people are so afraid of the devil. People are so afraid of demonic spirits. People are so afraid of Satan. Because they don't know why Jesus came. He said he came to destroy the works of the devil. How? On that cross, he finished it. So the moment you obey, the moment you embrace life, the level of the light of God that comes in you, if the light of God increases in you, which is who God is, you begin, I'm talking about spiritual light. The more of the light you begin to experience as you behold him and you experience the light, you start finding out that darkness does not have power over you. We went to a meeting in New York. We've experienced this in different times. As God was teaching me that light rules darkness. If you turn light on now, darkness runs away. I didn't understand it until, you know, I've told you for some stories in the past, and these stories are the things that God used to build my faith and my understanding of obeying him. We went to New York to minister. We got there that night in Staten Island, and I went to bed. And all of a sudden, as I was sleeping, a spirit, a principality came to this side of the bed. And I was half awake. It was a horrible spirit with some kind of eyes. All of a sudden, it's like God reminded me, you know who you are. And he put something in my hands and I took it half asleep. And it's like, I won't say it's bomb, but as I pushed my hand out, with power went out of my hand, destroyed that pain. Because the spirit came to say, why did you come to this area? And after that thing happened, that day, there was such a move of God in that meeting. That's when God started teaching me about territorial spirits. Before Jesus could step into his ministry, the Bible says he was led by the Spirit to be tempted to confront Satan face to face. And when he was done with the devil, the Bible says the devil left because now he has to rule. The Bible says God made light to rule over darkness. So the more you, that's why all over the world, this season is reflected by light. It's a message. But if all we do is just celebrate and eat some good ham and give a lot of good gifts, let's remind ourselves the greatest gift for this season is to know where God brought us from and to really open the gifts. How can God give us so much grace, so much love, and we don't take enough to share with others? A lot of people don't come to church because we have too many people manifesting flesh, flesh, flesh all the time. Where is love? God has invested so much in us. The second L, life. The third one, of course, as the third one, light. It says by your gifts, by the things you do, by your kindness, your love for one another, you show light. That by this shall all men know they are my disciples. By your love for one another. But instead we are backbiting all the time, we are complaining. We are bitter, we are competing, we are so insecure, and we are just wounding one another. We need to embrace this season. Say, God, I need more of what you've done for me. I need more. So as we celebrate this season, let's be joyful of what is done. Sometimes, when I was coming this morning, I was going to a prayer meeting with the pastors. I don't know if this happens to you. There's something God will do for you. Instead of laughing, you're crying. I was crying, oh my God, this is, how can you do this for me? I couldn't rejoice. It was overwhelming. All I could do was with tears of joy. Amen? Hallelujah! Amen. That is the reason for the season. Death, disobedience has been crucified. I'll do my hand and you say what? Let's start with number one. Let me see if you got it. Number one? This group didn't know it. Okay, everybody. Number one is what? Number two is what? Number three is what? Amen. And then, how do we celebrate this season and reflect on this season? Number one is what?
Love.
Number two is what?
Life.
And number three is what?
Life.
You're the best. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to pray. If we stand together. Amen. I want to make sure it's 12 o'clock. I can't believe I'm finishing by 12 o'clock. Well, let's stand together. Let's stand. We want to pray. Hallelujah. Taya, please help me. We are going to, our prayer this morning is, we want to just give ourselves to the Lord. You know, God doesn't eat ham. He doesn't eat pizza. It's worship. Amen. and just worship. Amen. I want us to sing this song together. That God will refresh us. God will, with this song, God will remind us the reason for this season is the presence of God, the glory of God. It says, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Mold me, fill me, and use me with these things. From your heart, you and the Lord, based on these things, hallelujah, you and the Lord. That on the keyboard, and as we sing that really slowly with our focus on the Lord, if you need prayer, you can just come to the front here. I just want to pray with you. Just you can just come and stand here as you worship the Lord. Thank you, Father. Just worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. As the deer pants after the water brooks, creating us a hunger and a thirst for your presence. Father, renew our appetite for you, for your presence. Bring us back to you. May we celebrate you, Jesus. May we honor you in this season. May we remember what you have done and what you've given to us. May we open the gifts from heaven in our hearts for those around us. May this be a joyful, victorious season. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.